entering a dimension of sight and sound. A dimension where fantasy and reality are interchangeable. And the shadow you just saw out of the corner of your eye could be yours from another plane of existence. So get ready to take the next right. Or is it left? Either way, you'll soon be pulling into Terry Adams Conspiracy Zone.
And welcome to the Health and Wealth Show. It's Thursday night, and do you know where Terry Adams is? I do. He's right here with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, can't complain too much. A little damp outside.
I'm doing it good anyway.
No, people just look at you funny.
I know.
We've got Chris and Luke are here with us. And Leah.
Hi.
Princess Leah, of course, is with us. And it's the night we set aside to talk about conspiracies and all sorts of neat things. I have had people tell me that this is one of their favorite programs.
Oh, cool.
That we do. So...
That's a good thing.
It's always,
right?
Yeah. It's always good to have you here. And I guess everybody's been keeping up with the impeachment trial.
Somewhat, yeah.
What a somewhat. Joke. It is. Schiff has been up there, and he just looks goofy.
He is goofy.
He just looks like a. Oh, and by the way, while I'm thinking about it, I found something here. Let me see, can I find it again? Let's see here. I'll just talk among yourselves while I look for this.
We'll murmur. How about that?
Yeah, murmur, meaningful.
Murmur.
Meaningful murmur.
Murmur. My goodness. I know where all this stuff is.
There's so much stuff in there. I think Greg's got like 6 pages.
Well, this is just on my... But I'll find it later. We'll do it. You'll get a kick out of it. I found it, and I thought of you when I saw it. It is Thursday night. Quick programming note. Tomorrow night is a rerun. And Monday night, David will be back. He's been taking care of Mrs. Ernest. She had a knee replacement. We think she got her a bionic knee. We're not sure. But she's on the mend,
good.
As they say.
That's
and
good.
As I said, David will be back Monday night. How is everybody?
I'm good. Excellent. I'm pretty okay.
Pretty okay? Yeah. Okay. And
doing well.
Okay. And Terry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
It's good to be here.
Greg didn't freak out too much.
He threw one little tantrum over that.
So. Well, yeah, that gets to him,
that
I think.
And Fox News.
I can always tell when he's had a bad afternoon because Andy Griffith is on the TV that I can see.
That's the first thing I put it on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. And let's see, I understand that they got some good news with the ratings.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He even said, I sent him a message saying congratulations. He said that this program did really well from 6 to 7, so I'll try to find out later what we did. I'm hoping we did pretty good.
I'm sure you did.
But we just come on here and just have a big old time. We talk about all sorts of things. And David should be calling soon, and I know he wants to talk about the SECURE Act. Now, I usually leave all the fact stuff to him because he knows about it. He's got a grasp on it.
That's his thing.
Yes.
I'm like... The SECURE Act? What do you mean? You like locked the door? What? I don't know. Is that what happened? So he'll be talking to us here shortly, and I got the handout that we got here. I'm sure some of you have actually.
Yeah, we all have handouts.
Some of you have actually read it.
Yeah.
So
we're supposed to read it.
The first thing up here: what is the SECURE Act? And it's got some real tiny little letters.
It's an acronym. It's always an acronym.
Okay. Yes. Well, explain to me what
it is. Setting every community up for Retirement Enhancement Act.
Get out of here.
They always use
acronyms. And they got one guy that sits around thinking this stuff up.
Guaranteed. And he probably makes a lot of money doing it.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's our money. Of course he does.
They love that in the military as well.
Oh, yeah, man, they're big into acronyms.
I read something in the Reader's Digest one time, you know, the humor in uniform.
Love that.
And said that they're on the deck of the ship, the admiral's there, and he sees an oil spill there. He says, where's that oil coming from? He says, from the BRT. And he looks over to Captain, what's a BRT? I said, that's the big round thing there, Captain. Oh, okay. So, yeah, it sounds more important, I guess,
exactly,
when you got an acronym.
Well, it hides the meaning, too.
Yeah. Well, we should check into some of that. Why?
Oh, yeah, we should.
Like FBI's, female body inspector.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah. High school. Yeah, of course.
And let's see, what are some of the key provisions to the SECURE Act? See, like I said, we're going to have to let him explain all this stuff.
Yeah, he said he was going to call in a little bit and talk about it in further depth with us.
Yeah, and we've got other neat things going on.
We do.
The big dance coming up on the 7th of February, which will be here before you know it.
Exactly.
And we're going to be down at the Davis Theater.
We are.
I am not a dancer. You shoot at my feet, I couldn't dance. So, but we'll be down there. Elvis will be there. Right. And
Fat Daddy.
The band is Fat Daddy. And yes. I was looking through there trying to pick out the one that would really be Fat Daddy. I think I found him.
Mm-hmm.
He was fat. Yeah,
and voluptuous.
He looked like
full figure.
Yeah, full figure. Rubenesque, I guess, would be a good one. He's a big guy. And I don't know, what do they play?
I'm honestly not sure. When I went down there, I didn't really ask them that. I know that they don't play Elvis's music. What? I do know that. Yeah. So Rusty's in charge of that.
Oh, yeah. I'll take care of that for Elvis. And we got all the other stuff done. I understand Elvis is going to be mingling.
He will be.
Mingling with the throng.
Yes. Always.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a funny thing because Elvis didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I've got that Elvis... The Way It Is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
It's been a long time.
It was leading up to a concert somewhere, and it shows them practicing, and then there's some of, you know, Elvis.
Backstage stuff.
Yeah, Elvis is riding around on a bicycle built for two with some of the guys, and they're cutting up and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And they filmed the concert over two nights.
Right.
And then they put it together into concert show, the last half of the thing. Well, all of a sudden, Elvis walks off of the stage down into the crowd, and they were like, oh, my Lord, because he didn't do that.
Right.
He just didn't do that.
He handing out scars.
He was touching people, shaking hands, and, you know, and the crowd was pretty good. They weren't, like, you know, trying to tackle him or anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that you always see that front row there where there was one
falling out.
Yeah, there's one where the lady hands him the handkerchief, and he's like wiping his face, he wipes his mouth, and he wipes his chest and hands it back to her. I'm like, she could probably get, like, you know, thousands for that now.
If they only had eBay back then.
Yeah. Right. I wonder if you could get Elvis's DNA, like, clone him.
Yeah,
the Elvis clone.
Yeah.
And he can go on tour. That reminded me of a thing I saw the other day, that Dry Bar Comedy. There was this guy on there, and said he was talking to his friend. He said, how'd your court case go? He said, I got to go to jail, man. And it's Dina's fault, man. I'm going to find Dina. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. I said, that's DNA, stupid. So there you go.
What you been up to, Terry?
Yeah.
Same old.
Same old?
Yeah, you know, just researching. And, last night was a strange night. We had a C-130 circling Montgomery.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
Pretty much all night.
Yeah,
what, all night. Just
don't know. The sky was full of helicopters, planes, just a crazy night in the air. I don't know what was going on.
Hmm.
And I had a listener that caught a good video of a big white orb going across the sky. Don't know what that was about either.
Hmm.
Strange.
Who knows? Strange stuff going on.
But the C-130, is that a troop transport plane?
It's a transport plane,
So they're just riding around in a circle.
Big circle.
And helicopters.
Saw helicopters, too, yeah.
I saw an odd-looking helicopter yesterday afternoon. I was coming, I don't remember where I was going. I was coming to Montgomery, and I did see it, and usually I was looking for, like, Hanes, because they fly around a lot, and it was not the Hanes
Civil
helicopter.
Air Patrol's up there, too,
Yeah, and it was sort of a flat-looking helicopter. Yeah, it wasn't, you know, it was kind of like mashed down. It wasn't the fighting helicopter. It was just... But, you know, you just see those things, and you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah, you got to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a couple of the free plane finder apps on my phone. So when I see planes like chemtrail planes or whatever, the first thing I do is look at them to see if they're a civilian plane or if they're listed. Because of January 1st, now it's been 3 years, all civilian planes have to turn their transponders on so we can track them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not pinging out a transponder, it's either military or something else.
Hmm.
And most of the planes that you see with the long streams behind it, they don't show up. So they don't have transponders. So they don't have them on.
Secret planes.
Yeah, evidently.
Oh, I found the thing I was going to play for you. You ready? I think you'll like this. Here we go.
New from Barker Brothers, a game for the entire family. Scot-free. Your team has just assassinated the president. Can you get away scot-free? Shake the dice and see. Great, you found a patsy. Go again. Bonus card. You get Jack Ruby to kill your patsy. That's good because dead men don't talk. Oh no, Abraham Zapruder films the assassination. Tough break, but now you go again. And a stroke of luck. 22 material witnesses die of unnatural causes. Now your opponent shakes again. Uh-oh, look out. Life Magazine buys the Zapruder film. But you buy Life Magazine and show the frames out of sequence. You're almost home. Now you must spin the public opinion board. You've got it. The public believes it. You're scot-free. Available from Barker Brothers.
Scarily, very, very factual.
Now, you're not going to believe where that's from.
Tell me.
The Kentucky Fried Movie.
I love that movie.
The Kentucky Fried Movie was on last night. I got to watching it, and I saw that. I said, let me get that for Terry. But, you know, go on just about any site. Go to some of these places that have, like, accidents, like plane crashes and stuff. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing that happens when they're filming something and a plane crashes or there's a train wreck or something? What happens? The camera goes crazy, out of frame. They drop the camera.
Yeah.
Zapruder film does not shake one bit.
Nope.
It does not move. So, he's standing there. I understand he was standing there.
With his secretary behind him.
She's holding him so he can make.
Right.
And all this happens, and he does not flinch.
True. You know, the FBI got that tape before we got to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Took several frames out.
Man.
Well, William Cooper, I don't know how he got it, but he has a copy of the unaltered Zapruder film.
Uh-huh.
And according to him, the driver, I think we might have talked about this. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember very well.
I
William
heard
Greer,
about this.
The driver, it shows him, bam, turn around and shoot Kennedy.
Man.
It's out there. You can find it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
bizarre.
It is crazy. And there's just...
Who knows?
We'll never know.
No, we won't. We will never know the truth.
There was some... I'm trying to remember the movie. And they had all this stuff hidden somewhere, and it was life or death to get it and everything. And this guy finally gave it to these people who promised they would hide it for him.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, they're driving off. He says, you want to know who killed Kennedy? And they just drive away.
Yeah.
So all that, like you say, it's out there.
It's out there.
272-9228 if you'd like to give us a call and throw your 2 cents in about conspiracies or ask
questions.
Well,
David mentioned to me that he thinks Hillary may jump back into this thing. I think she will, too.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely. She'll be the savior. Mm-hmm. Of the Democrat. Who are they going to run? Biden? He's a moron.
He's out of his mind.
I don't think Biden makes it to the end of the race.
No,
he can't.
There's going to be something that, some kind of calamity, something they bring up, or even the Ukraine stuff.
Yeah.
He's going to end up dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
The supporters that are, you know, supporting Bernie Sanders will not support any other Democratic nominee.
Right. And they're very militant, too.
Yeah.
And this lady has come up and
we've got David Ernest on the line.
David Ernest on the line. This lady, what's her name? Gabby Tulsa. She's suing Hillary.
For what she said about her.
Well, yeah.
She should.
Mm-hmm. She should.
I like Tulsa. I wish she was a Republican.
I do too.
Just hope she doesn't
a lot.
Wind up in a ditch.
Well, she
full
served
of water.
In the military. She walked the walk. I respect that.
She joined after 9/11.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Right from where all the healing is going on, it's David Ernest. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Can you hear me on speakerphone?
Yes, sir.
Perfect.
Hear you just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this conspiracy stuff is getting wild and crazy. It's getting to where no one believes anything they hear on television when it comes to the government.
You can't.
At all.
Nope.
You know, it's just completely insecure about believing this stuff. And this dang Secure Act that they come out with is even worse. Did you talk about that, any of that yet?
We had talked about it a little, but we were going to leave the actual explanation of it to you.
Yeah, we have our handouts.
Oh, we do have our handouts, but we...
Oh, okay. You got the well, you know, I've got a top assistant here, and she may take my job for something.
But Terry did explain to us that SECURE is an acronym. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
It's an acronym for not secure, huh?
Setting every community up for retirement enhancement.
It doesn't do that. It's always the exact opposite. You know, there's some things that were probably slightly good. And there's one spectacular thing that was good from the way I look at it, because the SECURE Act broadened access to annuities and lifetime income information. You know, 401ks and pensions were not able to have annuities in them. It almost force-fed them into, you know, like if you force-feed in the hospital, you know, you just take a syringe and ram it down their throat. They either swallow it or die, you know what I mean? They were force-fed these securities, not to do with the SECURE Act, but, you know, securities and other various things are inside 401ks. But as people aged, the old-timey pensions, they were not securities, not from the viewpoint of the pensioner. The pensioner looks at them as, okay, I get a guaranteed check based upon how many years I've worked and what I've done. And it was up to the, you know, the folks that were managing the money and the folks that were doing all kinds of calculation actuarially to make sure it worked. That's the reason why up in some places like Detroit and some places in California, guess what? They're like the Social Security system. They're not balanced well, and they're sick, and they'll probably not be able to pay out all the money. And so it's very important that you have programs inside your pension that will guarantee the ability to give you a guaranteed stream of income whenever you want to turn it on. Doesn't mean that you have to turn it on. It just means it's there when you get ready for it. And it inside the 401ks and the pensions that the SECURE Act is allowing, or should I say almost advocating, because they see the handwriting on the wall about what might come around here pretty quick with the, mm-hmm. with potential drops in the market, they're not going to have annuities that work like high-end interest rates. They're just going to be fixed annuities that pop out, you know, just a guaranteed rate. I don't think they're going to have anything called a fixed index, meaning that you can utilize the stock market to make them grow better.
Right.
So because of that problem, I'm guessing the reason why it would be like that is because they just don't feel like anybody understands what they're doing enough or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, you know, the fact is, you know, we're hoping that they're going to open the door up more for 401k rollovers, our pension rollovers, so people can strengthen their security of their pension without having to worry about, you know, a correction or a recession or a depression wiping them out. Now, that's a good thing about the SECURE Act, that it almost admitted that there's a problem out there. You might as well say it did if you read between the lines, because the reason why they didn't put these annuities in there is just because of politics and everything else. If you want to go into another conspiracy, you can talk about that. They got some rinky-dinky things in there. I guess y'all might have talked about, like, you pull some money out to adopt a child. They did repeal the maximum age to contribute. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. In other words, if you want to contribute into an IRA, it was already set up that you could continue contributing into a 401k. But now you can actually contribute into an IRA if you have earned income as long as you want to. No age limit. You can be 100 years old if you're still working.
You have to be still working, though, right, Dave?
You got to, yes. You still got to be earning what they call earned income, which is working or something that makes it qualify for that.
I got you.
Now, biggest burden of all, the biggest no-no, the problem, before I get into this, the RMDs, the required minimum distribution,
right.
They get them up to 72 and 70 and a half. That's going to help a few people, but most people at 70 and a half are already drawing their money out, so not going to really, they knew this. The government knew that, you know, hey, we're helping you. Yeah, well, you helped me too late. You know, you should have helped me at another date when I could have used it, you know. Anyway, that's a little bit of a good thing. But the thing that really, 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 really hit us below the belt was the elimination of the stretch IRA.
Right.
Right.
Now, there's some things. Now, if someone said, hey, I want to continue contributing to an IRA, and they're, you know, they could be any age as long as they're earning income, there's an old animal in town that really wasn't known. I've talked about it over and over. Most people don't even know it exists. If they did, they probably would have stopped us. There's very few companies that have access to it. I'm one of the few that can do it. I know about it. Most people don't even know it exists. And that is a stretch annuity. It cannot be an IRA annuity. But if it's any kind of other annuity, we can literally stretch it. So why am I talking about this? Well, there may be some people out there who've got the old, you know, just regular, non-qualified annuities, mm-hmm. and we right. can talk to them, making that better for their children. And also, if they inherited. And also, there's this thing where if you were trying to contribute to a pension plan and you've got a limit, you say, hey, I can't put in more than $7,000 a year. I can't put in more than $65,000 in my 401k, which is a lot.
Right.
But say you're just an individual and you're trying to put in there. Guess what? You could put it into this non-qualified annuity. Uh-huh. It would work just like a IRA that you could not deduct, which, you know, means that you don't pay taxes on your principal.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other thing. If anyone inherits it, they don't pay taxes either. If you're working with me,
right?
They will pay them over time. I'm talking about their children, or you know, the spouses and the individual don't ever have to take a withdrawal until they get good credit. But most of the time, if they die and it goes to someone else, 99% of the time the taxes will be due within 9 months.
Right.
But I have a way to actually make it work better, and they can take it out over their life expectancy. So let's say you were 80 years old and you died with one of these things, and you had a 50-year-old child, and you gave that to them through the inheritance of, you know, of the stretch.
Right.
Which has done exactly the way it should be done. That 50-year-old would not have to take out more than probably 1% or 2% at most of the balance per year and pay taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would only pay taxes on it on a pro rata amount, meaning they'd only pay taxes on the percentage that they take out that was, so let's say you had $200,000 that was in it, and you had $100,000 of principal in there. So if you took out $1,000, you'd only pay taxes on $500 that year.
Right.
And that's better than paying taxes on, say, like $100,000 at once. You get me?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of things that I was afraid that they had taken away the stretch IRA. When they took away the stretch IRA, I was afraid they took away the stretch annuity, non-qualified annuity.
Right.
But they forgot to do it. So, hey, I'm okay with it. It's not in tax law. It's only in private letter rulings, but it's still being honored. The IRS is still honoring it. So I say make hay while you can do it. But anyway.
Well, hey, Dave, before you get off, you were talking about the IRS and going ahead and taking advantage of it. As far as the stretch IRAs, you were saying before that that they were going to grandfather you in if you still had one, correct?
If you've already turned one on,
right,
meaning you died, you've died and someone else has inherited it,
right?
Your grandfather.
Okay, so if all this took effect January the 1st of 2020, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
All right, but the tax season doesn't end, this tax year doesn't end until April the 15th, right?
Right.
So could you, in essence, go ahead and get one between now and April the 15th and still be valid under the grandfather law?
No.
You cannot?
No. What I'm trying to say, the ones that grandfathered,
right,
are the ones that have already... someone's already died and granted that IRA to a non...
Oh, I got you. So they're already taking advantage of the stretch.
Right, yeah.
Correct. They're already taking the advantage, so they'll continue to be able to take the advantage. There is a grandfather on that. But
I got you.
So it doesn't matter. And here's the problem. There's a lot of people who wrote their trust. You could actually do a trust and use the oldest beneficiary, which
right,
usually would be the oldest child,
right,
and he would actually control the IRA. The IRA would not go into the trust because the IRA does have its own trust, okay? And I'm not going to get into all that, but essentially the RMD could be controlled by a trust. And a lot of well-to-do people did that, and all of a sudden they have been screwed by the government because... And if you've done this, you really need to talk to someone like me immediately, because probably your inherited mechanism that you put together, your will and everything, has just all of a sudden become totally obsolete.
Right.
It's not what you think it is.
Well,
so.
I'll tell you the truth. I don't think they need to talk to anybody like you. They need to talk to you.
Yeah.
They need to call David Ernest, 279-7431, and talk to him. And after your explanation there, if you're just as confused as I am, call David Ernest, because he knows this stuff backwards and forwards, been doing it almost 40 years,
right,
and he's got all the know-how to help you navigate this tricky,
man,
tricky path.
You,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how's the sick folks?
Well, you know, this is day two, and they say day three is the worst one, which that means that's coming tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully after that, it's downhill all the way. So that's what we're hoping. It should work out that way.
Okay.
Should work out that way.
All right. Well, anything else you want to mention to us about the Secure Act?
No, but I would like to mention this. I don't know. Did y'all talk about Hillary and her maybe coming back in on the backside?
We
did mention
were
that.
Just about to get into that when you called.
Okay, well, I'll let you get into it, because it's a very interesting conspiracy theory that may actually prove out to be the truth in the end, because I just don't see how these left-wingers think they're going to win by alienating the nation with Bernie and everyone else Elizabeth Warren. There's something underneath all this. It don't add up.
Right.
Anyway, enjoy talking to you guys.
Yes,
continue the good information. It's really good for you. People out there really getting some good information. And thank everybody for listening to this radio show, because Rusty, it looks like our ratings might have gone up.
That's what I heard. I have not spoken to anybody officially yet, but I understand we did pretty well.
Well, thank everybody that's listening, because they're the ones that's making that happen. But obviously, somebody wants to hear what we got to say.
There you go.
There you go. And thank you, Terry. You're doing a great job. Thank you, Leah.
Not a
Chris.
Problem.
Yes, sir.
Just y'all have a good evening. I'm going to go do my nursing duties.
All right, sir. And we'll see you Monday night.
We don't really want to know what all they are, but,
okay.
You leave it to your imagination.
All right. Thanks
Bye.
A lot.
All the best to you and Susan.
And,
Bye, David.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to thank everybody now. Thank you. And how about we just do something... a little different there.
Yeah.
course, you know, I'm going to charge them if they use this for the trial.
Absolutely.
If you need a job, I know a place you should go, Ukraine. If your dad's in politics, they'll hire you real quick in Ukraine. Job's not hard, pay is high, go apply in Ukraine.
Hey, man, where's Ukraine at, man?
I don't know, man. Just keep singing. We're getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to close the deal, yeah, you got to itch Ukraine. All they gotta do is
find a son of a
Ukraine. He got fired.
They got fired.
Yes, they did. Ukraine.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just secured an interview with Joe Biden. Mr. Biden, what did you tell the Ukrainians about the $1 billion?
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion.
And why did they back down?
I got hairy legs.
I understand you took a little backup, a little muscle to help convince them. Who did you take?
Corn Pop.
Well, why did you take him?
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
And so the guy got fired.
Got fired.
And if you're accusing the president of quid pro quo, what is this? What makes it different?
I got hairy legs.
Oh, okay. Well, your mission was accomplished, and, well, here comes Nancy Pelosi. Maybe she wants to celebrate with you.
Jump on my lap.
Don't mess with me. Ah!
Well, that's going to leave a mark. Any final comments, sir?
I got hairy legs.
And the kids used to jump on my lap and rub my leg down. But I learned about roaches that jumped on my lap.
Waiter, whatever Mr. Biden is smoking, I'll have some.
Hey, man, I found out where Ukraine is, man.
Where, man?
It's just above Slapout, man.
Well, we should go, man. I hear it's nice.
It's very nice. It's the Health and Wealth Show on a Thursday evening. We just talked with David Ernest. And, of course, we've got Terry Adams here.
Good to be here.
We were talking about the helicopters and the planes.
Well, if you go outside at night when it's overcast where you really can't see the stars, you can, there's like 12 things you can still see, which they're lower than the stars. Nobody seems to know what they are. One night I'm outside filming with my night. I've got digital night vision, monocular, and I've got my cell phone, and I'm looking at the trees. And I happen to be standing against my privacy fence, so I had something steady. And I notice out of the corner of my eye, this one's moving. So I turn around, I pan towards it and look at it. It slowly moves across the sky, then it does a 90-degree turn and goes, gone. Got it on film. Sent it to MUFON, Alabama MUFON, Mutual UFO Network.
Okay.
And the guy who runs Alabama's MUFON is retired Lieutenant Colonel Air Force. So we had a nice long conversation. He goes, Terry, nobody knows what they are. There's 12 of them up there. When it's overcast, you can see them when you can't see anything else. But nobody knows what they are.
Is there a color to them?
They sparkle. They turn different colors. Okay. They red, blue, green, just twinkle.
Now, are these, you say, lower than the stars?
They have to be because you can still see them when you can't see the stars.
Are they in the inside our atmosphere?
Don't know.
Are they in space above
us? I guess they would have to be for me to see it move.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they are.
Well, now, a lot of these things, you know, a lot of times, truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, they put stuff out there that is the truth, and they present it as fiction, and, oh, that's in a movie, that's not true.
Sure, desensitize you.
Yeah, what do you think about, you know, the Men in Black? What do you think? Do you think they're aliens living here?
That's what the evidence suggests. You know, every Saturday night, when I'm on, Postman, who had a very strange experience as a kid.
He was an amazing guy, by the way.
He is. He's very brilliant. And he's really dug deep into this whole alien thing. And every time he talks about this race or that race of aliens, and I go back and try to research, I can't catch him in a lie. He's telling the truth.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I've never personally seen one, so I can't say I know for sure they're here, but it sure seems like they are.
And you mentioned, I heard you on with Greg this afternoon talking about, and I've seen the movie, Telephone. It's Charles Bronson.
Yes, that's a great movie.
And you remember...
There's a lot of truth in that
Do
movie.
You remember what it was they used to activate them?
The woods are lovely. No, the something's dark and deep, but got miles to go before
it's, us. Frost.
Robert Frost.
Robert Frost. Yeah. Stopping by our woods on a snowy evening.
Yes. That was the trigger for us.
How did it start? In miles to go before I sleep.
The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have miles to go before I sleep. Then it repeated miles to go, and that's click. That was the trigger phrase.
Whose woods these are, I think I know. Yeah, that's how it starts. Yeah. But
which is funny because Emily and I were just watching one of the Marvel movies the other night, Captain America. Winter Soldier.
Okay.
And, you know, they've got this guy that they did all this stuff to, and and they get him aside, and they give him a phrase, and then he tears up the place.
This stuff is real. The Nazis figured this out.
Manchurian Canada.
In the concentration camps.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really, really upset with Denzel when they redid that because they just destroyed it.
Yeah.
The original Manchurian Candidate was a much superior movie.
And who was the guy in the Manchurian Candidate? Wasn't it
in the original?
Yeah,
it was Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. And I can't think of the other guy that was the one who was activated. The Koreans.
Right.
I think it was during the Korean War got him, and they couldn't stand this guy, and every one of the people in the unit said, "Yes, he." He saved our lives, and they gave the same story. It was really freaky, but that was the better movie. Was the original, in my opinion. But yes, I'm sorry.
You did say we see these in movies, but we had to get these ideas from movies somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't just create this concept out of thin air.
Right.
There's reasons that there's folklore and folktale talking about these things mermaids, aliens, things like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you think maybe that there are people who don't know that they're aliens and they're waiting for a time to activate them like a sleeper?
No.
There are no people.
Like,
they're
not aliens.
There's nobody here.
There may be sleeper cells, but these aren't aliens.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the Nazis, you have to go back to the concentration camps and what they did to the undesirables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, homosexuals, Jews, whatever, gypsies. They figured out that if you torture them so badly, they'll get to a point where their mind will fracture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Compartmentalize.
Mm-hmm.
They figured out how to take one of those compartments, assign it a key phrase to switch to it, and they could put information, they could feed them information, whatever they wanted. And when these people came out of it, they didn't even know what had happened. They didn't know they were compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the perfect... They use them to transfer messages back and forth, because if they get caught by the enemy, they don't know they know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
Right.
Unless you know the key phrase, you're never going to get it out of them. It's because of Paperclip, Project Paperclip, when we snatched all the Nazis from Peenemünde and all the other sites in Germany, and we got them over here.
That's where we got all the information, scientific stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And our intel agencies, the CIA in particular, you know, they started learning from what the Nazis had learned.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of took it from there. And if this sounds crazy, just watch the Church Committee hearings in the early 70s when Senator Church got into this of what the CIA had been up to. I mean, they burned thousands of pages before he could get them because they knew it was coming.
Right.
Yeah, it's terrible what the CIA has done.
But it's true. And they're doing it to quote-unquote...
National
us.
Security, which is a total BS line, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
they always say that.
The people in the camps, they were aliens, and then they carved...
They were gypsies.
Okay, right.
The Nazis believed that they came from a master race.
Okay, right.
An Aryan.
Right, Aryan master race, right.
So anyone who didn't fit that profile were undesirables. They put them in camps.
Yeah, I'm with that.
A lot of the Jewish prisoners helped. They made them. They were slave labor. They're the ones that dug out the big caverns inside to keep them from the bombers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nazis were playing around with anti-gravitation. They were playing around with some really cool stuff. But unfortunately, they were using slave labor to build this stuff.
Right.
And they killed them all. When we started closing in, they didn't want us to get any of this technology. They killed these people.
Right.
It's terrible. But, the Nazis were so far advanced. And it makes you wonder, how did they lose the war? Well, there's a prevailing thought that they didn't.
Hmm.
The German people lost the war. The Nazis didn't.
Right.
They went to Antarctica and other places where they had built secret bases.
Right.
And they are the ones behind what's going on now. It makes you wonder. I'm not saying that's what's happening. There's just a theory out there. And there's a lot of evidence to support that.
Uh-huh.
Bush was a Nazi. Real name, Scherf.
Right. And Barbara...
was Aleister Crowley's daughter.
Aleister Crowley's daughter.
Oh. That's right. That's right. A fact.
Right.
Wow. Yes.
That just gave me chill bumps.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's horrible, but there you go.
So what are the possibilities of aliens going to Hitler and saying,
look, man.
Yeah.
2 years ago, somebody, we don't know who, put out a series of black and white videos of Nazi Germany, and they had this little gray alien in full Nazi regalia uniform following the officers around. And I don't know if it was CGI. It looked right. Real. Who knows? Right. They were there for like 3 weeks, and boom, they got kicked out. Hadn't seen them since. But
giving them the scientific knowledge of how to do weapons.
They got it somewhere.
And isn't some of that part of like the Book of Enoch as far as the knowledge and giving the knowledge and training them and making the different jumps in each generational type thing?
Exactly. And you got Wernher von Braun saying, we got this from elsewhere.
Exactly.
He admitted we got it from elsewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any of the interviews of Wernher von Braun, that's what he says is this is not of not of this earth.
Exactly.
Right. We got it from somewhere else. Which leads me to the Morgellons and have you seen the latest on the Xenobots?
No.
4 days ago, University of Vermont released they've got organisms now that they can control that are biological and computer, you know, based. On a cellular level. So, I mean, that goes back to some of the stuff that you were saying about Morgellons.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the stuff you've seen under the microscope.
And stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, pretty amazing stuff.
It's unreal.
Do you think maybe stuff that we do see, like Roswell, do you think that's just them throwing us a bone? You know, just, here, let's let them see a little something.
I think too many people saw it.
Really?
So they went into damage control.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, originally they reported we got a saucer, we got one, and then they had to back it down.
Yeah, and
it was a weather balloon.
I understand the guy that found it, a rancher out there. They just literally told him, look, you play ball or you're not going to be playing at all. They bought him a truck.
They bought him a brand new pickup truck.
Man, I need to go out and watch for UFOs, man. I seen one. Where my truck? But now
there was a survivor from that.
Yeah, I understood that.
Yeah, E.B. They called him E.B. because he was more like a plant than he was a biological.
Okay, now how long did he survive? Or a
couple of years.
Really?
That's what they say.
And you say he was more like a plant.
Yes, they had to get a botanist in there to start getting sick.
Okay, so...
Now, who knows if this is true? I don't know. I didn't see it. I can't swear it's true, but there's a lot of evidence out there.
Mm-hmm. You remember in the, I guess it was the 80s when they came out with the alien autopsy movies?
Yeah.
Now...
That was creepy.
That was creepy, but was there anything to it? I mean, was it...
I don't know.
Did it
probably based on something actually that happened? Yeah.
I don't know that was really.
And you know, I would think, and this is just me, that if somebody were coming here to infiltrate our society, they would attempt to look like us.
I don't think that they're here to infiltrate. I think they're like what Postman has said, as far as we're a science experiment,
right?
And each little step, they're going to tweak the DNA to make us a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better until the point where,
anybody read Douglas Adams?
I love Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I have all of them.
And the whole thing comes down that the Earth was a science project commissioned by these two white mice.
Yep.
And they're studying us. Instead of us studying the little white mice.
The laboratory mice.
The little white mice are studying us.
Yeah, which, I thought the movie was okay.
The movie was all right.
You know, Zooey made it okay. Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, I think they kind of mashed all three of them together. Wasn't there three books?
Yeah.
They mashed all three of them together to get one. My favorite part of the whole deal was the restaurant at the end of the universe, where what you do is in your time, you go in and you put like a penny in the bank.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then you travel to the end of... time, the end of the universe, and you're protected in this restaurant, in this bubble, and your penny has accrued so much interest that you can actually eat at this restaurant and watch the end of the universe.
Man.
And that was a big tourist thing, you know, but this guy died very young, I think.
Yeah, he did.
But he was brilliant. I mean, the stuff was just, it's like it just rolled
the
out.
The babblefish.
Yeah, they had a little fish that you put in your ear and you could understand any language.
Translated.
And
he was brilliant.
And the alien, what was his name? Ford?
Ford Prefect.
Ford Prefect.
Yeah.
He looked like a regular person.
Yeah.
And he had been just
hanging. Acted strange.
Yeah, been just hanging out on Earth, and then they found out that the Vogons were coming through, putting through an interstellar
freeway,
and they were going to demolish the Earth.
But the papers had been on file for hundreds of years.
Yes. You
at the center of the galaxy.
You should have gone down to check them out. And so they hop a ride off of the planet, and mayhem ensues. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
The movie is good, but if you read the books, they're much, much better.
He was a wordsmith.
He really was. Of course, now he's good. But my favorite, I think, is more of a fantasy writer, is Ray Bradbury.
Hard to beat him.
I love Ray Bradbury now. As a matter of fact, I found a thing the other night. It's And There Will Come Soft Rains. It's about post-nuclear accident or attack. And there's this house. And these people lived in this house, and the house is automatic. Well, the house is still alive.
Right.
And it's going through everything in the day, like everything, but it eventually falls apart. And it's read by Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty neat. It's
really,
it's
Spock.
Yeah. Ray Bradbury worked mostly in short stories and stuff. And, you know, I got a connection to Spock. Met his dad.
Really?
Actually, I got to interview Mark Leonard. Years ago, he came and they did a Star Trek convention.
Yeah,
and I got to interview him. He was a real nice fellow.
I bet
he was a nice guy. So
272-9228.
That's a good number. Call us up. Tell us your favorite conspiracy or your favorite movie that's got to do with science fiction.
I like Logan's Run. That's
pretty, that is a good
that's
one.
A good movie.
That was I've actually got a copy of that.
I do too.
I'm gonna have to start a list because I haven't seen.
You've not seen Logan's Run?
No.
Oh,
that's great.
It's when set in the future, and they've.
When you're 30, you have to go.
Yeah, they figured out how to control the population.
Right.
When you're 30, you die.
Yeah.
They basically you do everything.
They
you
call
want,
it carousel.
Up until then they basically just set you on fire.
Exactly.
Up. Yeah. And they tell you you're going to come back as somebody else, but you don't.
I got you. Speaking of which, the UN and the. What's the population that has to die each day in order?
300 and something.
350,000.
Georgia Guidestones basically says they got to get rid of, 95% of us?
Right. Wow.
Keep the population at 500 million.
I got to go Michael on the line.
I do, too. I haven't been yet.
Michael's on the line.
Michael. Yeah.
Is he on the main line? Michael, you there?
Hey. Hey, how doing?
Hey, Michael.
We're doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to ask if any one of y'all knew about the Valiant Thor guy.
Yeah.
Now, I've read about that guy. I cannot think of the guy who wrote about him.
I know William Cooper wrote about him.
Okay,
but
Valiant Thor was from Venus, I guess.
Yeah,
and the guy that wrote the most about him, he died here recently.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
And he said he would be in the Pentagon, and Valiant Thor would just appear out of nowhere.
Yep.
He would be going down the road in his car, and all of a sudden, Valiant Thor would be sitting next to him. And the guy looked like, you know, he didn't look like he was given to fancy, you know, like he was pretty much, you know, reliable.
Pretty grounded,
but, I've been interested in that for years.
You know, the picture that I had seen that was supposed to be him, you know, oddly enough, looked like what you would describe an Aryan as to me.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, also the swastika, you know, has been seen around the world in numerous places with, you know, UFO subject matter or whatever around it. And, you know, there's weird stuff out there, guys.
There really
call
is.
And talk about
that. Hey, man, we appreciate it.
I'm enjoying it, man. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, one of the best stories of all, and this has been backed up a lot, is Eisenhower met with the Greys. The Greys landed, and they wanted to meet with Eisenhower.
Yeah.
And Eisenhower said, well, what can you offer us? And they said, well, we'll give you technology, advanced technology.
Yeah. And they looked at him, and they said, nice jacket, because he had that coat. You know, anyway.
Could have. But what they wanted was the ability to abduct just a handful of humans, but they would erase their memory. They wouldn't hurt them at all. Well, they gave him a little time. He said, I need some time to talk to the joint chiefs. Well, they went away. Well, another race came called the Nordics, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, tall, human-looking. Uh-huh. And they said, the people you just met with are not who they say they are. So he said, well, they were going to give us technology. What are you going to give us? And the Nordics said, you can't handle what you have now.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that's a good statement.
So where did the Nordics come from? They just showed up, huh?
Don't know. Could be advanced Earthlings from the future. Who knows? But Eisenhower told them no because they wouldn't give him anything. And when the Greys came back, he purportedly made a deal with the Greys, which is where all the alien abductions come from, because he agreed to it.
And
don't know.
Of course, there's the very famous case of Barney and Betty
Hill,
who lost
interracial couple,
lost some time. You know, they
missing time.
Yeah, they wake up and they're, where have we been? And they were supposedly they took them and did some hypnotic regression, and they both separate sessions told the same story.
Well, drew a map of the sky that had planets we wouldn't find for another 20 or 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's amazing.
This was in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And as you said, they were an interracial couple. I don't know if it had anything to do with it or not.
That was a big deal back then.
Yeah. Right.
So they played that up in a bad way, which is not fair.
And there was a movie. I'm trying to think. Was James Earl Jones in that? I think
he was.
He might have been.
Yeah, matter of fact, he was.
But it comes and goes.
And then he later played Darth Vader.
He did. He was an alien.
I am your father.
You know, they've been making one the redneck. Luke, I am your daddy.
That's it. Yeah. Well, one of these nights, we're going to have to get into...
Of the month, who's this?
The what? I'm sorry.
He's fielding a call.
Oh, yes, exactly. I'm trying to think of... Mandela effect. We're going to need to get into that one.
Now, I've read about that. Now, that's where you look at something and you remember it the way you think you saw it, but it becomes your reality because...
Okay, Star Wars.
Okay.
When Luke standing there, and what does Darth Vader say to him? Luke, I am your father?
He says, I think he just says, I am your father.
According to the Mandela effect, or according to what they're saying now, he never said that.
Really?
If you go and look at a copy of Star Wars, he doesn't say that anymore. Like, it's all changed.
And like the Berenstain Bears and the Berens.
Yes.
Yeah, and like Berenstain, it was like an A and an
changed.
E.
Yeah. Everything's changed. The crazy thing is, if you've got an old video or something of it, and you go back and look, it's changed too.
Wow.
It's like the timeline's been changed.
Right.
Didn't we talk about this last week yet?
We've got
yes, I want to
deja vu, man.
Deja vu.
We got
vu's your day. I swear this has never happened before.
The postman is on one. Postman,
really awesome.
Come in,
postman.
Are you there,
postman?
I'm sorry,
postman.
Wait a minute.
Uh oh,
I got you,
postman.
He's here. There he is.
There you are. What's going on, man?
I was just listening in and little thing I got going there. And I was just sitting there listening, and I heard Rush ask about the Nordics. And
where'd they come from?
Pleiades. Yeah, the Pleiades star system.
Okay, I've heard of that.
I knew you would know that.
Yeah, that's the same. That's the same constellation, or the same seven sun star system.
Seven sun.
That is portrayed in the. The Rotunda, Capitol Rotunda. And that's where George Washington supposedly ascended to. Because
that's right. The ceiling.
There's a mural painted and up at the top of the Rotunda dome.
That's right.
Wow.
You the man.
And,
how are you doing, Mr. Postman?
Oh, I'm good.
Well, Postman? Call us anytime doing this. We got another call I want to try to catch.
You're going to have to come up here one Thursday night.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right. We'll do.
All right, man.
I'll see you Saturday night, man.
Well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
You take care.
Thanks,
buddy.
All right, so that was the famous postman, huh?
It's an amazing guy.
Yeah,
absolutely
he's
amazing.
Brilliant.
Our last call is going to be Bob.
Bob. Starts
Bob.
With
Bob.
Ends with
Bob,
letters.
You there?
Bob is here, and I just want to say one thing. You know, we have this idea when we listen to voices on the radio, you try to imagine what people look like.
Right.
You know, oh, my goodness.
And,
I see where this is
Terry,
going.
You don't look really anything like I thought. Rusty, you kind of do look like what you sound.
What? I sound short and fat? What?
Is that good or bad?
For all you creepy old dudes out there that think that Leah is like this smoking hot, you know, young chick. You're correct. That's exactly what she looks like.
I was going to say.
Oh, Lord.
I'm telling you, you know who I am.
Yeah, I know who you are.
No. Yeah, here's y'all were talking about conspiracies earlier in your favorite conspiracy. I think that the Garden of Eden is Antarctica. What do you think about that?
Makes sense.
And either one or two things happened. It used to be at the center when all the land masses were together, and when the tectonic plates shifted and it moved to the bottom of the earth, why there's so much focus down there, and you can't go down there, and they're trying to dig all this stuff up. I think they're looking for the Tree of Life, me personally.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's another explanation is that what is called the firmament in the Bible, is there was the earth was encapsulated in water, and it was so hot that nothing existed anywhere but at the North and South Poles. And that's where it was. And once all that water fell, and I'm not dogmatic on either side of that, but that's my favorite conspiracy. The Garden of Eden is buried under 2 miles of ice down in Antarctica, and that's why we're down there digging and looking for stuff.
Well, that's a good theory. And, you know, what I heard is they know for sure that Adam and Eve were not Cajuns. Because if they had been Cajuns, they would have thrown the apple away and ate the snake.
Better believe it.
So there you go. So thanks a lot, Bob. We got to run.
Bye, Bob.
Thank you, Rusty.
Thank
bye,
you.
Bye, Liam.
Bye. Why doesn't somebody just ask Keith Richards? I mean, I'm sure he was.
He was here, probably. He gave the directions to the snake. They're over there, mate.
You know, he might have been the snake.
He could have been. There you go.
Well, you know, God was talking to Adam and Eve, and this guy walks by, and they go, "Well, who is that?" And he goes, "That's Keith Richards. He was here before I was here."
Yeah, he's got a date with Betty White. Hey, I got something for us to go out to. You're going to like it. But we're going to be back Monday night. David will be back. And then Terry's going to be back next Thursday night. Of course, don't forget, he's going to be on the air Saturday night from 6 till 10 with Clearing the Air.
And stop by Adam's Motorsports and buy you something.
Yeah, get a dirt bike.
No conspiracy there. So we're going to get out of here. And I thought you would like this. It's the Manhattan Transfer. Twilight Zone.
Never heard this.
Oh, you've never heard it?
Not this version.
Oh, you'll like it.
I remember them.
All right, we'll see you next time on the Health and Wealth Show.